Welcome to Follow to Lead, where we discover how to listen for and follow God's call so that we might lead others to God. Our shared stories of inspiration from religious leaders and those active in the educational ministry of the church can help you know better how God is calling you and the role passionate Catholic education plays in spreading His message of faith, hope, and love. Now please welcome the hosts of Follow to Lead, Father Randy Sly and Kyle Pietrantonio.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ the teacher, teach us to listen. Teach us to do the deep listening to the sounds of our soul, waiting to hear your voice calling us to cast out deeper, to become fishers of men and women, shepherds of souls, to follow your will in order to lead others to the truth, beauty, and goodness only you can offer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to Follow to Lead, a journey twice a month into the world of Catholic education and our faith, exploring what it means to follow God in order to lead others to Him. I'm Father Randy Sly, your host. Today, we will be talking with Michael Schell, the headmaster at Sparhawk Academy, an independent day school for boys grades 3 through 8 in Millis, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston, and Sarah Hogan, Director of College Counseling and Alumni Engagement at Providence Academy in Plymouth, Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis. Now, Michael became Sparhawk Academy's second headmaster in July of 2023, so he'll be coming up on his first anniversary. And prior to Sparhawk, he served as the Associate Superintendent of Enrollment, Management, and Marketing for the Archdiocese of Boston's Catholic Schools Office, and previously Director of Enrollment Management and College Counseling at Catholic Memorial School in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Michael graduated cum laude from the College of Holy Cross and received a master's degree in organization and leadership in 2013 from Columbia University. He completed the Leadership and Enrollment Management Program for the University of Southern California's Rossier School of Education. He is a proud father of a Sparhawk graduate, class of 2022, and has two current Minutemen that are at the school. Now, Sarah Hogan serves as Director of College Counseling and Alumni Engagement at Providence Academy, and she brings a wealth of experience in enrollment management and also comprehensive college counseling and student support programs. Prior to coming to Providence in 2006, Sarah served as the Director of Alumni Relations and as Associate Director of Admission and Financial Aid at a National Catholic Liberal Arts University. Longstanding member of the National Association for College Admission Counseling, she has served as President of the Minnesota Association for College Admission Counseling, co-chair of the Minnesota National College Fair, and on counselor advisory boards for a flagship public university, a top-tier R1 engineering school, and a nationally ranked liberal arts college. Mike and Sarah, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having us. My goodness, Sarah, you must know a lot about colleges.
Mike, we've been around a little while, haven't we?
Yeah, longer than I'd like to admit, realizing that.
Well, you know, one of the things we like to do on our program is to begin by giving you both an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about yourselves, your upbringing, and all of that. So, Sarah, why don't we start with you? Can you just share us a little bit about you?
Sure, Father Randy. Thank you for this opportunity. I will first and foremost call myself a fangirl of this format of this podcast. And as someone who grew up in a Catholic elementary school setting, public secondary school, and a Catholic higher educational setting down in Dallas, Texas, it has become a passion point for me to be part of the process of helping, you said shepherding in our opening prayer, Father, so helping to shepherd our students and our families in what is otherwise a really difficult, oftentimes frustrating process of trying to discern what to do after after high school, especially from schools like ours, where the formation is so full in our school's version of it, Providence Academy of Faith, Knowledge, and Virtue, what to do next. So thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to have you, Sarah. And Mike, why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'll be real brief, hope. So I grew up outside of Philadelphia and attended Lawrenceville School for 4 years, and then found my way up here in Boston, where I went to, outside Boston, the great city of Worcester, Holy Cross, and met my wife there. And we married soon after graduating, and five kids, and got right into, teaching and coaching. I myself had a really, I would say, you used a term earlier in our conversation, Father Randy, lonely. I had a really lonely college admissions experience where I felt like I just wasn't known. And I didn't know how to express my strengths outside of the fact that I played baseball and was a Division I recruit. And I learned that I'm a person first, player second, later in life than I wanted to. So I've been very involved in college admissions, college recruiting, teaching, really since I got out of college. And it became very clear to me that a lot of the joy in the playing process, in the searching process, was being taken away from this game of chutes and ladders and hunger games that many of our families are in. So really what I felt inspired to do was to work in an area of schools where we could help reframe the college admissions experience of one of really accepting yourself before you're gaining any acceptance letters. What are your strengths? How do we reframe this process for one of getting into college is really the byproduct of getting first within yourself. So what does that 4-year discernment process look like? What are the right questions you got to be asking? And the amazing piece was, is as we were doing more of that type of work with the parents and with the students, it was like you were giving them permission, to kind of let the guard down a bit and, mm-hmm. and to stop kind of wearing the mask of having to kind of, focus on this ranking or focus on that and try to manipulate the system or try to, let's just take a step back and try to grow closer. And let's go through this process through a vocational lens. And that's that whole mindset, that's framed the whole philosophy, the whole approach that ultimately now Sarah and I, what we set out to do is just create a platform, create a platform where we can just kind of grow a broad ecosystem, grow an audience where you kind of bring us all together because our young adults need, our parents need mm-hmm. to be given permission to recognize that first, whether you're going to UMass or you're going to, whatever's university, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. So go through the college process as a child of God.
Right. Now, both of you are here, of course, to represent this fellowship. But I also want to have you be able to tell a little bit about your school. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about Providence Academy. And then, Mike, we can hear about Sparhawk.
Sure. Providence Academy opened in 2001, Father, and praise God that we have had the opportunity to celebrate 22 years as a pre-K to 12 independent Catholic school in the Twin Cities, in a part of the Twin Cities, by the way, for the listeners, if you know the Twin Cities, we're in the Northwest kind of area or suburbs where there really wasn't something available to families, particularly in that geographical part of the city. But more so than that, I think because our mission is very distinctive in being a school that, as a faithful Catholic school, intentionally college preparatory to help students really develop those gifts, not just as a high school, but starting as early as, I have a pre-care. I didn't mention that I'm a mother of six as well, Father. So I'll mention that as well. My age ranges are 22 to 5. So I have my youngest, Michael, is in our pre-K program. And I'm so glad for Providence Academy. I'm so grateful because that preparation starts when they're so young. And to be able to be in this, collaboration and partnership and mission, with colleagues in the teaching realm, in the counseling realm, in the administrative realm, And we're all going in the same direction as a school. I mentioned our motto being faith, knowledge, and virtue. We even have, in different divisions of the school, what does that look like? In lower school, actually, you get sent to the principal. Our principal's from the Bronx, by the way, New York. Sent to Mrs. Galgano if you are caught in virtue. And then she's got her baseball card saints, right? That she gets, lets the students choose, which saint, what's the virtue, that's connected here. So much so that by middle school, because virtue in middle school, let's get to virtue in middle school, right? But by the time we have our seniors graduating, our highest award and celebration at graduation is basically our faith, knowledge, virtue recipients. It's a guy and a girl because we're a co-ed school. And those students are not chosen because they are the highest tippy-top national merit student. They're chosen by our faculty because they embody faith and virtue and knowledge through the academic realm. So I feel very blessed to have found this school. The school did not exist when I was growing up in Minneapolis. So my parents didn't have this option. We do have wonderful options, but I'm just very grateful to be part of this community.
And Michael, what about Sparhawk?
Great. Well, Sparhawk is in its sixth year. We are an all-boys school, independent school, for grades 3 through 8. Fearless, bold founders have opened this school, recognizing the need for it within the greater Boston market. And, as one student said a couple weeks into this year, how's it going? How do you like the school? Just kind of casually said, it's the way school should be. And we believe that too. So, we have two ABCs here, the ABCs that you think of in terms of us developing men of great speaking and writing ability, and the ABCs of our craftsmanship program, which is agriculture, bushcraft, and carpentry. So just, I'm watching our boys in the out of the window here begin to grab their wood for the Viking chairs that they're building. Every Friday, there's a craftsmanship class that students take part in that is designed toward really dignifying work and grounding the boys in reality and truth and teaching them practical skills that will make them helpful husbands and sons and brothers and colleagues one day. And so it's pretty amazing to see our boys making cider and applesauce on one day and then, engaged in a debate in their humanities classes in the 7th and 8th grade. We also have a really wonderful initiative in our 7th and 8th grade program, an entrepreneurship program. So we teach boys that really entrepreneurship at its core is an invitation to receive the Holy Spirit's calling within you to do work. And it's developing, fostering an entrepreneurial mindset within all of our students. And we talk a lot about virtue, vision, and vocation. We're an instrument. Our school, we're an instrument more than we're an institution. We're an instrument supporting parents that lead men to happiness and maturity. Happiness and maturity reached through, Sparhawk believes, vision, virtue, and vocation. And whatever it is you do, do it well. So our craftsmanship program, really an entrepreneurship program within our strong liberal arts curriculum, really combine to create a force that prepares our boys to go off to really any high school that they want and go prepare them for college. And the beautiful part is I'm actually about 5 of our graduates who are off today from school, who are back on campus helping on our 60-acre farm. We have a gorgeous 60-acre farm with chickens and with apple orchards and with brooks and streams and paddocks and flowers. Because nature is a huge, being outdoors, being with nature is a huge part of the Sparhawk experience. So I think it's the way school should be.
Well, both of these schools sound just fantastic. And I know both of you are faith first and really take seriously the formation of the heart as well as the mind as a part of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, the two of you are working with Duke and Altum Schools Collaborative and the Catholic Psych Institute on organizing a fellowship for counselors this coming summer. But before we get into that, kind of take us into the world of a school counselor? What is their part in the mission of a Catholic school?
So I'll grab that one as a as somebody who's a practitioner. Even as we speak, I had a student sort of poke his face in my window. And I know because we get to know our students so well at our schools, I kind of anticipate he needs something for a scholarship. So, and this is our last day before spring break. Our students will have 2 weeks of spring break leading up to the Triduum and Easter. But our mission, right, as counselors is, you know, in serving our students and families in ways that, but for our students to help them grow in their personal responsibility and initiative, right, in their own self-advocacy, communication, decision-making, all of those critical elements to emerging adulthood, but educating and supporting our students and counseling our students in identifying, you know, Mike said it, in identifying their strengths, their God-given gifts, and how they are called to use those gifts in a way that that really not just propel them into, you know, a viable life after their schooling, but to become great-souled persons that are so desperately needed in our world, in all professions, all walks of life. And so I think with our counselor fellowship for counselors, for those of us in these roles, it is going to be kind of a newer way for us to not just be collaborative in our own schools, right? With, because I love working with our theology teachers and, you know, other English teachers, you know, college essay writing, all of those kinds of things. But for us to really link arms beyond our schools in a network, you know, way that we help each other get better at helping and counseling our students in ways that are countercultural. Because there's so much noise and so out there for professional development that is counseling students this way or, you know, therapeutic versions. And I think that's just downright dangerous.
Yeah, so there's a lot of noise.
It's a chance for us to be together and form something new that can be used and utilized and supported beyond even our 3-day fellowship.
Right. You're wearing so many caps as a counselor, and I think it's important because we have a number of people coming so far within our you know, tight-knit cohort that we're going to have this first year, whose titles may be director of school counseling, others director of college counseling. We see the school counseling, college counseling. We're trying not to, it's important not to distinguish, you know, between the two, you know, and we believe very much so if you're involved in college counseling or do strong elements of school counseling. And at many schools, the school counselor is also in charge of the college counseling piece here. So, you know, that in and of itself, school and college counseling can lead you to, you know, counselors are drinking from a fire hose. You know, they're getting just inundated from left and right, especially with the rising number of you know, the need to really work with the mental health of our schools, our students, while college process is becoming ever more so complex. So, you know, someone asked me one time who was looking for a job to as a school and college counselor was, you know, what is this role? I said, well, you're a translator, you know, you're a fixer, you're a coach, and you're a builder. It's hard to be all four of those things well, but you need to be. You're going to be drinking from a fire hose. You need to be replenished from really good sources of enrichment. And that's what we want the fellowship to be, you know, prioritize an opportunity to really be replenished with real quality content, you know, great people. You know, what makes Sarah so good at her job is the relationships that she's able to build with colleges and in schools and to be able to communicate back to her students and to her parents and helping discern, you know, what is the best fit, you know, for this person.
Now, I don't know if my experience is more universal or not, but it seems to me that many of our schools, because of their size, have one person involved in that role. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah.
Well, that would make, I would think, for a somewhat lonely profession.
Absolutely. Well, a lonely profession also, too, which is even made even lonelier and harder to, you know, serve authentically in the position If you're at a school that doesn't really have a true why, you know, of what is the goal of the work. I do feel, and I've been hearing this, you know, from my time as an associate superintendent and, you know, currently working with schools, this is an area of real urgent, this is on the minds of a lot of school heads, presidents, principals. How are we restructuring our counseling offices? How are we not putting too much on the shoulders of the counselor, the two counselors, and how do we make sure that we're providing the right level of training and resources in this critical area of work?
And it would go ahead, Sarah.
Father Panty, I would add to that you know, the loneliness factor that you mentioned, Father, is it's real, but that's actually something I would say in maybe in schools and in collaborative networks, that's something that we are combating. And actually, I think many counselors are finding when we're finding each other, and that's part of the impetus of this is to make that easier. You know, I was just speaking with a colleague at another Catholic high school in our area just yesterday, and she said, well, I've got my CLT network, right? The Classical Learning Test Network. I got this network, but you know, those are sort of almost so small and niche that you know, something like our counselor fellowship is to help even break out of just those sort of micro level, you know, connections, because there's such a need, as Mike and many of us are saying, you know, this need is beyond just this archdiocese or this particular region of the country. And I think being able to really get this message out, thank you for this opportunity, but also for others to be others who are thinking this way, because we're not the only ones, but to know that you know, a few of us are really wanting to help take a lead on creating more spaces and opportunities,
right.
And fellowships and summits, you know, that would really foster this in ways that could be scaled.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It would. Yeah. It would seem to me that because the work is, you're so busy as a counselor, you have to be intentional to network, intentional to connect. And I would think that this counselor's fellowship, it may be just kind of a precursor to an opportunity for a deeper sense of connectivity between counselors that are like-minded and like-hearted.
Right.
So tell us about this counselor fellowship that you all are developing.
Sure. So, Sarah, I'll start, and maybe I'll address in day one, and if you want to jump into day two. So June 25th is when the fellowship is going to kick off. Hopefully we'll be you know, it's capturing our counselors before the July 4th and too much of the summer break sets in. The response has been unbelievable. You know, we're intentionally planning a tight-knit cohort of counseling leaders of 20. We have about half of that cohort filled as of now, and then many others, you know, who have verbally agreed and are hoping to get in there. So there's a lot of demand there for it. And so we hope to have by May 1, our counseling cohort locked in. So if you're listening and you want to apply still and reach out to either Sarah or to me for information, you still can. But we're intentionally keeping it a tight-knit group this first year. So we'll come together on the first day. We'll have mass with our Sparhawk Academy chaplain. And then we're going to begin a series of workshops conducted by Dr. Gregory Pitaro, founder of the Catholic Psych Institute. And Dr. Greg's been doing a lot of work, particularly within the last year or so, on creating a certification program. And the workshops that he's going to be leading are going to be focused on what I loved he referred to as kind of helping counselors, teachers, be good CPR, mental health CPR practitioners in their schools. You know, it's going to be a day of a lot of sharing what you see, a lot of learning from one another. On day two, we are going to flip the coin, if you will, and really focus on more the college piece, the college and career piece. So, Sarah, can you jump in and talk about day two?
Day two is exciting. And I think as somebody who does not live in Boston, I'm excited to be around like-hatted counselors. Oh, I did okay there. But what's exciting about day two, I think, for participants, for all of us, is that we will make site visits. We are going to, I mean, my goodness, this is Greater Boston. There's a college in every corner. But we will intentionally focus on a couple of institutions, to tour, have the information session, collaborate with admissions folks. And I think at noon, we will get together around that time at lunchtime with Boston Area Campus Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University student leaders, which there are phenomenal. It is like it's an all-star team, I think, in the Boston area of Focus leadership. So we'll have a chance to collaborate with them and lunch being hosted wonderfully by our friends at Catholic Tech, a newer, exciting endeavor. Of a STEM-based university that's operating now over in the Rome, Greater Rome. So these are unique opportunities in that we're really wanting to make those connections. Yes, networking intentionally, as you said, Father Randy, but also to make sure that we are tapping those resources, those oases of excellence, so that we can take that information back home to our students and families, and then we'll get back together on this beautiful Sparhawk campus, which I've not seen yet. I'm excited to get together with some representatives from a New England Association of Admissions representatives, so that we have an opportunity to even broaden those connections, which I think will be great. And over dinner and fellowship, and I think that day two it'll be a lot of steps. But I think it will be lots of steps that will help lead us to greater collaboration together.
Yeah, we that's a great description, Sarah. We're anticipating about 15 different colleges represented during our food and friendship portion of the evening. We're going to intentionally make the program not too formal. This is not going to feel like you're going to go around in a circle and give a about 90-second spiel in your school. This is really about making personal connections. You know, so one of the reasons why we really are pushing for our cohort to be identified well in advance of the June 25th arrival so that they could see who's coming and also plan on, this is an opportunity for us to make face-to-face contact, talk about one of our students, So we really, our counselors, it's about facilitation. This is about, fun, friendship, formation, but facilitation, so we want this is our goal here is to really bring into the arena, people who can get right to work, helping do what's best for students. And so there are many public universities coming here who are excited to be meeting with counselors who are across the coast from different parts of the country. That's a key piece. Day three, I'm thrilled. There's a wonderful organization started up, College Guidance Network. And on day three, we'll have series of workshops and sessions on kind of talking about what's next. But we'll have just a wonderful leader within the college admissions industry named Brennan Barnard, who has a phenomenal book that all of our participants will receive. He and Rick Clark, the vice provost for enrollment at Georgia Tech, wrote a book that very popular that our recipients will receive. And Brennan will be leading a talk on trends and the college process and really ways to best accompany students to the next step. One other area that I wanted to mention, though, among these schools that we're targeting, we really want to open the doors. And I believe very much, there's a wonderful book, Salt of the Earth, that Cardinal Ratzinger and then Pope Benedict. There's a line in there that the reporter asked him, how do you get to God, more or less? And Cardinal Ratzinger said, there are as many roads to God as there are people. I very much believe that in the area of our work, there are as many roads to success as there are people. And our goals are to help open up and create as many pathways forward for these counselors to shepherd their students to it. So schools like Harmel Academy, schools like, there's a four-year Catholic trade school in Cedar Rapids, Michigan. Our goal is really to just open up doors and possibilities for our counselors and to be an efficient way of just bringing all these people together.
What do you all hope that attendee will take away after they leave this 3-day event?
I'll start on that one as somebody who will be with and among the counseling group, who I think a first takeaway is there's so many of us. There, as you just said, Mike, there's so many of us in different journeys within our own, charisms, within our own schools, within our own, are we working mostly with middle and upper or what are the things that in our work with students, we will find like-hatted, I'll try it again, counselors to, after this, to be able to stay connected to for the rest of our professional lives, which is incredibly encouraging and gives you hope. And I would say one other one, again, as somebody who's kind of in this work specifically, is to have opportunity to continue to carve out more spaces to have collaborations. So whether it's like Mike and I did at our National Association conferences or, in other sort of follow-up ways of collaborating virtually, something like this, where we just continue to share with one another in ways that are help us with efficiencies, but also just continue to inspire us as we're, supporting our students and families.
Yeah. All of what Sarah said, and I would just add, I pray that each counselor walks away from this experience thinking, wow, my life really matters. My life matters. And it's really showcasing itself through my work, and that's how we, St. John Paul II writes so beautifully about how we demonstrate our love for God through the work that he gave us. And so this is an amazing vocation to which you need to say yes to. You have the opportunity. It's not that I have to do this. I get to do this. So that's really the first thing, charged up energy, excitement. I'd also love for maybe a new friendship to be formed here. Colleague, you can call from across the coast or wherever, maybe nearby, and say, that's key. We all need it. And I hope that, there's going to be someone within your cohort at your school somewhere that's going to be at a school because of a connection that you made during these 3 days, where you've learned something that you didn't know before. So my life matters, new friends, and a new door opened up for one of your students.
In a sense, I am so excited about what you are doing that I almost want to be like the guy on that infomercial and go, and there's more, what do you envision? It would seem to me that this is like lighting up something new that is going to take on its own life. Do you see beyond this fellowship time?
It's a great question. I've been, the expression was used to me once, Shell, you do too much future tripping. You're thinking too far down the road. You have to be where your feet are right now and just go one step at a time. So I had a great mentor who really taught me that, long-term success is having a big vision, but small implementation. So we're really focusing on, at least where I'm at, Sarah, is let's really do this first year well. Let's be present with the people. Let's learn what is the, this is bigger than us all, and this is just needed. And this is about helping people and serving people. What's key also too here is, the College Admissions Marketplace. It's a marketplace, and we're helping families to understand how to make the best decisions. This is about transformation, but it's also about transaction, and how to prepare, how to help families make the best transaction. So there's a great need for that. And so I don't think there's going to be any shortage of counselors who want to take part in our programming as we open it up and offer it to more and more counselors over the years. But I think it has tremendous potential and opportunity, but I'm just going to stay focused on, let's have a great 3 days in June. Let's listen to our people. Let's form great friendships. And then what we hope to do is be at the DIA summit in Houston next fall, revealing, kind of telling the story of the people who we met and giving the plans on how we're opening it up to broaden access in 2025.
And that's actually, Mike, you stole it. I was going to say at the DIA, I would love to be celebrating those new friendships, those renewed friendships, but also wouldn't it be great to, you know, because a lot of conferencing that we do, to have somebody say, oh, I met you with the counselor fellowship, or, you know, Mike Schell, I heard him speak, and my goodness, that just a nugget, you know, takeaway that really was such a helpful and life-giving opportunity, whatever that looked like for the participant or for their colleague, you know, in a nearby school that heard about it and wants to be part of this, you know, in a future iteration. So I would also just say, just looking ahead towards, you know, because we're both long game people, I think, to even know that we have, you know, families in all of our schools, you know, because I work with alumni as well. I love that we get to who will come back and say, you know, thank you, the gratitude, that you know, greatest of all virtues, thank you, because this work actually does help, you know, transform, you know, the lives of our of this next generation that we're looking to lead us.
Right. You know, we're seeking friendship. We're also really looking to scale a community. You know, I mean, post COVID, something that's made crystal clear to us, you know, during that period of time where we were isolating ourselves and basically putting up 6 feet, you know, tape around each other and mask each other off, like now, and especially our youth, and we're seeing kind of the harmful effects of all that isolation, but we're just craving community. So I very much believe that together we go farther. There's more for me to learn from other people than there is for them to learn from me. So I just can't wait when I have these conversations with the folks who are coming out here in Boston in June to see what I'm not even thinking about right now, that the power of this group is going to come together. But, you know, so the forming of the community post June, you know, and being present, being available, you know, being a source to go to for expertise, expert content, you know, great connections, is key. But I don't have the answer in terms of what is the next steps going to be. And I'm actually rejuvenated by that right now, because this is all a response to a call that, I love getting the emails from counselors around the country. Like, this is amazing. This is so great. So onward we go.
I really love that, because that way you allow, you know, the dynamic of the group coming together in the presence of the Holy Spirit to kind of move it forward.
Amen.
And yeah, I think about that scripture, don't despise the day of small beginnings.
Yes.
And that's what we have going on here. Now, if there are counselors that can't make it due to finances or a number of things, would you still like to hear from them just to let you know that they're out there?
Absolutely. 100%. Please. You know, we're going to be working on between this fellowship and the next fellowship. We want to eliminate financial considerations as a reason why you can't come to this, you know, and so we have that is one big plan, a bold vision. I mean, this is about, you know, breaking down silos and us forming as transparent and open a dialogue and bringing in counselors from all over, serving all over the world. So absolutely.
One final question that I want to offer to both of you. As you know, Follow to Lead is primarily focused on an audience of Catholic school administrators and teachers. And from your positions, what message would you like to give to your brothers and sisters that are in the trenches right now? What would you like to say to them, just to kind of give them a word of wisdom or some encouragement today?
That's a great question, Father Randy. I'll take a swing. I'll take an at-bat here. I would say our work is so blessed. And as you said, when we leave room for the Holy Spirit to work through us with our students and, again, within our schools, even breaking down silos within our schools, right? Because that happens. So even just taking some time in the rest of our Lenten journey together. We've got some time left to reflect on how we might continue to do that, even within our own schools and our hallowed halls. I think that's a prayer, and this work is prayerful work if we infuse it in that way.
That's great, Sarah. I would say one, I've been thinking a lot about the relationship between the people in your building and the policies, you know, and it's you know, I think one of the most baneful effects of some certain, you know, institutionalizing schools too much is that we see our students as kind of being policy check marks and process and rather than kind of, you know, potential. It becomes about policy over potential. So I would just, you know, let's make sure is the fundamental, you know, purpose of the wholeness of the person really on display here in terms of how you're organized and how you're creating your systems. And is it really just all about to try to enhance the greatness of the person? And are you giving them that freedom that they really need to learn? You know, that freedom to really be able to develop that. You know, if someone were to say to me, if you meet someone who's 40 years old from Sparhawk and you know, what is that thing that you want them to say about, you know, what they took from the experience? It's my time on those 60 acres, my time with the faculty helped me to really develop the muscles to live my freedom, my moral responsibility wisely, you know, and to make good decisions. So just making sure that we're providing our students with that freedom that they need to really grow.
Well, Mike and Sarah, thank you again. Boy, I really appreciate you being on the program today. This was such a delight, and I'm really excited about this way addressing, I think, a very important area of our mission as Catholic schools in this area of the counselors. And it seems to me that that's one of the natural outgrowths of something like Duke and Altum is the opportunity for a little bit of a niche, you know, for chaplains, counselors, and others, that they can gravitate toward one another and find that hope and that help. And just to know that there's others out there that are sharing that same mission and vision. It's really exciting.
That's great. Thanks for what you do, Father Andy.
So if people want to know more about this counselor's fellowship, where can they go?
I would reach out directly to me, mshell@sparhawkacademy.org. We don't have, you know, we're doing a lot of kind of, I call it near-bound marketing, you know, people, you know, friendship-based marketing and or connection-based marketing. So I had someone reached out to me via LinkedIn just a couple of days ago asking. So I encourage anyone listening to me, I'm on LinkedIn. If you want to ping me there, send me an email. We do have a registration form on our Sparhawk Academy website. And then after submitting the registration form, you'll receive back information details on logistics, transportation, itinerary, et cetera. But if when in doubt, just send me an email. Find me on LinkedIn, and I'll find you back.
Wonderful.
Same goes for me, Father. I've had a lot of people reach out because they know I'm a practicing counselor. So we will help get them into the Counselor Fellowship Network.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you both for being on our program today. And for information about the Duke and Altum Schools Collaborative itself, please visit our website at diaschools.org. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow our podcast, and be sure to leave a comment to encourage us toward future programs. May Almighty God bless you.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Follow to Lead, a production of the Duke and Altum Schools Collaborative. To learn more about finding your own path in your journey of faith, or for more information on what we discussed in today's episode, you are invited to follow us on social media and visit us on the web at diaschools.org. To provide a one-time donation or monthly pledge, please visit our website. Your gift will aid us in providing up-to-date information, additional resources, and other support on how to take Catholic education to a higher level. We look forward to helping you follow God's call to lead others to God right here on Follow to Lead.